RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Western New York race fans, it's time to crank it up.
Start your engines!
For the next hour, the airwaves belong to you. Sit down, strap in, and let's head to WGR's Fast Track.
All right, take a nice big deep breath, buddy.
With your host.
Let's go out there and have a good day, all right, bud?
Dave Buchanan.
Good morning, race fans. 11:02 here on WGR Sports Radio 550, and welcome to another edition of WGR's Fast Track. I'm Dave Buchanan. Thanks for listening, as always. A very busy day of race watching on tap. If you are the kind of person that likes to watch all forms of motorsports, you've got your work cut out for you this afternoon because you've got plenty of options. You've got NASCAR in Michigan. You've got Formula One in Montreal. You've got IndyCar in Texas, and you've got NHRA in Englishtown, New Jersey, all going on today. So hope you have many screens at your disposal and a few radios as well, too, as there's a lot to watch today. Just on TV alone for racing, let alone going to local tracks and everything. But lots to cover here this morning on WGR's Fast Track, and we have a great show lined up for you this morning. Busy opening segment here coming up in just a couple of minutes. We're going to go live to the Michigan International Speedway for two guests this morning. First up, we're going to talk to our very own Jeremy White. Jeremy is at the race in Michigan this weekend. It is his first ever NASCAR experience. He's camping out for the weekend. So we're going to talk to Jer from our WGR morning show, of course, and just see how he's doing on this race day morning and get his thoughts on the weekend. I know he's already had some interesting tweets since he's gotten to Michigan on Friday. So we'll talk to Jeremy White in just a couple of minutes live from Michigan. And then at about quarter after, we'll go back live to Michigan, and we'll talk to, from the Motor Racing Network, Mike Bagley, who will be one of the voices you'll hear on today's broadcast of the race right here on WGR. The Bagman will join us live from Michigan as well at quarter after the hour. Coming up in the second segment of the show, we will go back to last night at the Lake Erie Speedway and talk to Will Thomas, who picked up the win in the Race of Champions Modified Series event at Lake Erie Speedway just across the border in Northeast PA. A phenomenal drive by that man as he got his first start in a long time at a track that he won three track championships at as a late model driver. Made his first modified start last night and drove a heck of a race to pick up the victory. And you'll hear from Will Thomas in the bottom of the hour here on Fast Track. Phone lines are open as well for you, 803-0551-888-550-2550. You can also tweet us at Fast Track 550, at Fast Track 550, and also facebook.com/WGR Fast Track are the ways to get in touch with us this morning. But let's not waste any time and go to the AT&T hotline. And we'll head out live to the Michigan International Speedway and bring in WGR's own Jeremy White, who's on the line making his NASCAR debut. Jeremy, good morning. How is your first NASCAR experience going?
It's going great, Dave. I think we have what you would describe as perfect weather. I mean, there's not a cloud in the sky. It's 72. It's not windy. Yesterday was a bit of a scorcher.
Yeah.
But today we're doing great.
I was watching the Xfinity race yesterday, Jeremy, and yeah, it was downright hot from what I could see. Temperatures inside those race cars were getting about to 115 degrees, so I'm sure it was pretty hot for the fans in the stands, too. Just so far, what have you experienced? What do you like? What is taking your interest so far in your first couple of days at Michigan?
Well, we got here on Friday and pulled into the camp lot, Graves Farm, the lot. It's, they do a tram over to the actual speedway. Mm-hmm. And it's been cool, you know, sitting in a camper or just sitting around here. You can hear the track. It's not that far away. So like, as someone who's never been to a race like this, the race itself is kind of like this thing that lives over there, and you can hear it and you know what's going on. So Friday night we heard it, and Saturday we could hear more as they're, you know, what they're doing, practice or the 250 race, the other one. Like, we, you could hear it. So you know it's over there, and you get closer and closer, it gets louder and louder, and finally we got over there yesterday, and, just walking around the track, and you know, just seeing how big it is, and how just, it's just so massive. It's pretty cool. And we had a chance to go down in the pits yesterday for the Xfinity Series race, and we get there with about maybe 40 laps to go. We decided just to stay, right in the pits. Cold pass on, Sunday equals a hot pass on Saturday. So we were able to walk up and down pit road basically and check out, Kyle Busch's team was right there where we were. And, you know, so we're listening on the headsets, and obviously in pit road, it's unbelievably loud. I've never experienced noise like that where you've got the headphones, on to block out the sound. When you try to talk to the person next to you and they can't hear you, so then you each take your headsets off, and that's much worse. That's not happening. So you just agree to not speak to the people you're with the entire time you're down there in pit road, at least until maybe like they're on the backstretch. But we were listening to Kyle Busch's team on the radio because he was in the lead for a long time.
Yeah,
and then you know as the way the broadcast works on the headsets on the FanVision is you're listening to MRN's broadcast and they flip over when your driver kicks on. So on MRN, they're pointing out how Suarez had never won.
Yep.
And Busch has, like, what, maybe 50 wins on Xfinity or 20 or whatever. He's got a ton of wins.
He's the winningest driver in that series,
Yeah. And it's one of the reasons people hate him, right?
Yep.
Okay. So, right. So we're listening to the Kyle Busch team and then decide, let's flip over to Suarez just to see, you know, what happens because he's the guy in second place. He's never won. I want to hear what his team is saying. So three laps left. We flip over to Suarez and we're listening to him as he's chasing him down. And just to hear his team the moment that he makes that big move and passes him was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And basically like a team that, you know, hit a shot late and is trying to protect that lead the final lap, you know, there's his crew chief or whatever, the radio guy says, give me one more, give me one more. He comes around the turn nicely, and as he's coming down towards the finish line, you know, they're hooting and hollering. It's this guy's first ever win.
Yep.
And as he crosses the finish line, they yell, you just beat Kyle Busch to, you know, to drive home. Not only did you win, but like you beat a pretty big fish. So it just worked out perfectly to have switched to Suarez's radio and for the move to happen and all of it. It was so cool. It was unforgettable. All this flipped over to Suarez. Just an awesome moment.
Jeremy White joining us live from Michigan, talking about yesterday's Xfinity Series race as Daniel Suarez picked up his first career Xfinity Series win, chasing down and beating Kyle Busch. Jeremy, have you locked onto a driver yet? You know, have you bought a driver T-shirt? Who are you going to be pulling for in today's Cup race there in Michigan?
Well, I mean, we've got plenty of ideas, and I don't necessarily have anyone that I love too much, but the more I read about Kyle Busch and everybody hating him, the more I can't help but just love it. I just love it. I read an article about it was a BuzzFeed thing, 18 reasons to hate Kyle Busch, and
right.
It was actually written by a Kyle Busch fan. Like, you know, this is why you hate him, and I get it. I haven't followed this series too closely at all, but any guy that is a villain and embraces that role, to me, I love that. I love that in every sport. To pretend to wipe away tears when he's getting booed, I mean, that, to me, I am a fan of yours for life because, you know, you're going to have guys that are villains in sports, and some guys are the villain, and they're afraid of it, and they don't want to be, but for somebody that is it and they embrace it, like, that is just the best thing that any sport can have. And I think that I just can't help it. Everybody hates him. to make a comparison, this is a bit of an odd comparison, but I'll make it anyway. When I was in Europe a couple of years ago for the World Cup, and Germany's going down the line, you know, it's Spain, Germany, the Netherlands that are on to the finals, and we were on a train and asked the woman, like, who are you rooting for? And she said, anybody but Germany. And it's because of the war. And that's kind of what it's like for Kyle Busch. If you ask people who they're rooting for, they'll say, anybody but Kyle Busch. And they have their favorites. But I was in the bathroom, and I randomly were talking about how much they hate Kyle swearing at him. Unsolicited, out of nowhere. I just go to the bathroom, and people are talking about how much they hate him. So he's really got that all-out villain status. And the fact that he loves that makes me kind of love him.
See, it's amazing. As much as different as all sports are, Jeremy, the same themes, no matter what the sport is, seem to pop up. It's interesting how it doesn't matter what sport it is.
Well, I had a guy sent me something on Twitter, and you know this better than me, that basically what he is he's a guy that wins a lot or he wrecks, and he will take dudes out and not think twice about it. And that's why he's looked at this way. But a guy wrote to me and said, that's what Dale Earnhardt used to do. Is,
yep.
I don't care what anybody does. I'm going to win, and if not, I'm going to wreck you.
Yeah, a lot of drivers start out like that, where they're despised for winning a lot and for being over aggressive. But the older they get, the more beloved they become in the sport. That's another thing. As Dale Earnhardt wasn't always as well liked as he was later in his career. He had that same reputation as Kyle Busch did. Same for Darrell Waltrip. So you watch, 10 years from now, Kyle Busch will be like the most popular driver in the sport. Last thing, Jeremy, before we let you go, have you revealed your rookie status to anybody at Michigan? Have you been asking for tips from your fellow race fans, or have you made any friends out there this weekend?
A few. Like, it's funny, it's a little community out here, and it's totally being a lot like a Bills tailgate, and it feels like that more than anything. It's a nice day, people out here ready to have a good time. You hear the helicopters going over top, you just get like the sense that there's this big event coming up at 1 o'clock today. People are just kind of into it, and they have the here they have the festival on both Friday and Saturday nights. I had a chance to go over that last night, where we've got bands playing and a bunch of free stuff, free arcade and go-karts and paintball. And, it's a cool place. It's kind of funny. It's in the middle of nowhere, just Brooklyn, Michigan.
Yep.
Getting your highways until the last about 40 miles, and then it's just this straight shot road comes in. And it's just a cool scene. We were here for about, half hour. And my fiance's brother said, I'm going to want to do a race every single year. And I kind of feel the same way. Like, it's easily the kind of thing that you could want to do as a full weekend. Like, to just bump in and out one day in, one day out, I'm sure it would be fun. But to just kind of live it and to have seen yesterday, to be in the pits yesterday, we had the chance to go in the paddock in the pits today, but we thought, we got a lot. We got our fill yesterday, so we'll go sit in our seats and, be sure to see the introductions, and we're anticipating a pretty cool flyover because they had a cool one yesterday.
Yeah.
So just the spectacle of it all, and how much, I've got camper envy too, being in a camper lot. there are some palaces on wheels in here, and they know what they're doing. It's pretty clear.
Very good. Well, Jeremy, I'm glad you're having a blast. Enjoy the cup race today, and thanks for the time this morning. I know it's very busy, and I know you want to try and do and see as much as possible. Thanks for spending a couple of minutes with us, buddy. Have a good one.
No problem. Thanks for all the help you've given me. I've been texting you all the time, like, what do I do? So I appreciate it very much, Dave.
Very good, Jeremy. Have a good one.
All right, thanks, Dave.
All right, Jeremy White from the WGR Morning Show making his NASCAR debut today at the Michigan International Speedway, his first ever trip to a NASCAR race in. That's all it takes. If you've got that friend that says, oh, NASCAR is boring, all they do is make left-hand turns, racing is boring, just take them to a race and you convert them for life. Prime example right there. Jeremy, he might not become, a super fan watching every Sunday like we do, but he gets it now, and he becomes a fan, and he's going to want to go to more races. And that's all it takes with this sport, is you get them to one race and they're hooked. And that's the fun of this sport, I think. And it's so much unlike, football and other sports where the TV experience is maybe the best way to go. With racing, it's being there in person is despite HDTV and despite Twitter and everything you can have at your disposal watching the race at home, nothing beats being at the track and experiencing it firsthand. Very good. We're going to go right back, though, to the AT&T hotline and go right back to the Irish Hills in Michigan and bring in one of the voices you'll hear on today's broadcast of the Fire Keepers Casino 400 from the Michigan International Speedway from the Motor Racing Network. Mike Bagley joins us. Mike, it's Dave Buchanan here in Buffalo. Bagman, good morning. Great to talk to you again.
Dave, glad to be on. Hope things are well. You're in your part of the country.
We are doing just fine here this morning in Western New York. And Mike, real quick, we just had one of our other station hosts here. He's at his first ever NASCAR race this weekend at Michigan. What do you tell the fan that asks you what should I do? What should I experience when I go to my first race? What do you tell people that ask you that?
One of the most important things a fan can do when they go to a race for the very first time is to rent a scanner and a headset. Because a lot of times, being that our sport is so loud and so continuous, a lot of fans don't know that there's a soundtrack that's playing while that race is going on.
Mm-hmm.
That be listening to the driver and the crew chief talk, whether it be listening to MRN's At Track Frequency, which you can hear what we discuss during commercials, the hilarity that ensues. You can listen to your favorite driver. You can listen to NASCAR. There is a soundtrack that plays out during our races that a lot of folks don't know about. And for the first time fan in person, that soundtrack could provide a lot of clarity, whether it's a driver or the sanctioning body or us. It helps the driver with that experience. And I think that's one of the most important things that a first-time fan can do.
You hit it right out the nail right on the head there, Mike, because that's exactly what Jeremy White, our morning show host, who's there this weekend for his first race, is exactly what he said. They were walking around during the Xfinity race yesterday. They were listening to Kyle Busch's scanner, and then they were listening to Daniel Suarez there during those last few laps. And he just said it was like watching any other team sport where they're, you know, cheering on their driver and trying to bring them home to a finish. He said that was a big part of his experience yesterday, was listening to the Suarez channel yesterday on the Fan View, and it really helped out his experience.
Absolutely. And I'm sure that was quite entertaining. I was otherwise disposed, of course, to those last few laps, but I'm sure that, you know, it was entertaining hearing Kyle and Daniel and whatever driver you choose to listen to. You can swing back and forth between drivers and check at any frequency. Now, granted, there are times where those frequencies could get a bit spirited on what is and what is not happening on the racetrack. If you have a driver like Kevin Harvick or Kyle Busch or something after a pit stop that goes bad, you may want to take into account that perhaps maybe you may hear things that perhaps maybe you would not want youngsters to hear.
Yes.
You know what? That's a part of the competition. Those guys are human, just like stick and ball athletes, where, you know, there's a lot of emotion and a lot of passion in sports. That passion comes from fans, but the passion comes from drivers as well. And it's not always like that, but it's very entertaining to listen to. And you can also get the clarity and find out understanding. When you see a car on the racetrack, you know, the driver's keying up saying, hey, I'm loose in three, I'm loose in four, and then matches that up with what you're seeing, provides a whole different experience.
Mike Bagley from the Motor Racing Network joining us here on WGR's Fast Track. Mike, let's turn our attention to today's race, the Firekeepers 400 from Michigan International Speedway. Of course, this new iteration of the lower downforce package, changes to the spoiler and the deck lid. What kind of race do you expect today? How is the action going to be out there on the racetrack at Michigan?
Dave, I'll be honest with you. I don't know what to expect today. I've just come from the garage, and I was talking to a lot of folks, and I've heard everything from, it's going to be one of the best races in the history of the sport. Everybody's going to cool their jets because they don't want to spin out and crash. I know one thing, the first two, three, four laps could be quite interesting once everybody gets settled out, because we've not had a spoiler this small in these cars since the 70s.
Wow.
So the downforces, the side force has been taken away, some of it, not all of it. I mean, some of it's still there. However, when you get into traffic, see, these drivers haven't even practiced around other cars. We haven't seen any passing. So we don't know what the net effect of this is going to be when these guys go side by side.
Mm-hmm.
So we honestly don't know. We're all going to be sitting back, watching, and wondering together. But we'll have an idea probably once we get to the first pit stop and beyond how these cars are going to behave with this new package.
What have you been hearing about the speeds this weekend? It's even with the reduction in the downforce, it sounds like speeds, at least entering the corner, are up. We're right flirting with that 200 mile per hour barrier. What have the drivers been saying about the speeds they've been getting at Michigan?
We saw speeds entering the corner about 215,
wow,
18, 219. However, what's different is the drivers are lifting in the middle corner,
mm-hmm,
out of the gas like 3 or 4 seconds worth. So that creates passing opportunities. If everyone's wide open and no one's cracking the throttle, we don't have an opportunity to have cars passing each other. However, when these guys get out of the throttle for 3 or 4 seconds, that then sets up to, okay, who drives the car in deeper, who's willing to take a chance and take that spot. Off throttle time is great. Even though speeds are up, off throttle time is the best net effect of this package. We'll see how that unfolds together, but I would venture to say that we'll see a different Michigan race and hope that the track widens out even more so we can see that 3, 4, 5 wide, you know, fighter formation going into these corners where we've got every inch of the racetrack or every piece of real estate being used out there.
on qualifying Friday there at Michigan. Joey Logano finally put it together at the right time. The last two races, he had been fastest in rounds one and two, but could never get that pole. He gets the pole, though, for today's race. Do you think today's the day Joey gets this first win of the season and locks himself firmly into the chase?
I wouldn't put it past him. I know that they were doing some head-scratching going on. They were working on that car a lot in practice on Friday. And then, of course, they put everything together to win the pole. I think Team Penske has found some things, and I think Team Penske will be a factor today. One of the things that may not happen is the Gibbs cars may not be as big a factor as we think they will be. You've got Hendrick that's running well. You've got Penske that's running well. So I think it's going to be interesting from a manufacturer's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Can somebody suck the wind out of those Toyota sales here today? And it wouldn't be surprised if it, I wouldn't be surprised if it's not a Ford that does it.
I'm sure all of those manufacturer executives that sit in those offices just down the road in Detroit, I'm sure they'll be hoping that their makes it into victory lane today. I was listening to MRN's qualifying coverage, Mike, and I know you had a chance to talk to Tony Stewart after qualifying, as he will start third today. How about Smoke's chances today? Is this today's the day that maybe he gets things turned around and puts together a good finish?
Well, he put together a good run on Friday, and that was a fast one single car run. I think what we're going to have to wait is see how the car reacts in traffic.
Mm-hmm.
Tony Stewart's a wheel man, so he loves to get up on the wheel, and
yep.
he loves to get it done and sling the car around in the corner. From what we hear and what we see on paper, that's going to be the case. But the biggest thing is get comfortable. And if you can't get comfortable, get fast. There is a difference between the two. Question is, which one will he become? I would love to see Tony Stewart do well today and win the race. Now, granted, if he wins the race, that doesn't put him in the chase.
Right.
He's got to get to the top 30 in points, and he's got about, I think, a race and a half to make up before he can do that.
Mike, last thing for you. It seems like so far the theme of the weekend, whether the truck race in Texas or yesterday's Xfinity Series race, it's been that veteran guy dominating and leading late in the race like a Matt Crafton or a Kyle Busch, but then that young driver coming out of nowhere to steal the win late in William Byron and Daniel Suarez. How about a similar story like that today with a Chase Elliott or a Ryan Blaney or a Kyle Larson maybe stealing a win from a Joey Logano or a Denny Hamlin today? That'd be another fun story for this weekend.
Absolutely. That would be a great story, and that's one that could definitely happen. Look at what Chase did last week at Pocono. He almost got the win at Pocono until he faded late in the race. Chase likes a loose race car. Ryan likes a new race car, or a loose race car, I should say. You got 400 miles to get the car to where the driver wants it. The question is, when's the last pit stop going to come? Is it going to come down to fuel mileage? You may have a fast car, but you may have to conserve fuel at the end. The unknowns, Dave, are so many coming into this race, and this race on paper has the opportunity to be played into the hands of several different types of drivers. You could see a Greg Biffle emerge out of this.
Yeah.
You could see Tony or Chase. There's a list of about 10 or 15 guys who have a legitimate shot to win based on how the cadence of this race plays out.
I hear you got a pretty big interview on pre-race this afternoon that we're going to be hearing.
I do. I just had a chance to interview Misha Tate. And you'll be hearing that when we hit the air later this morning. Had a chance to meet her. What a great lady. She is so fantastic. Intimidating at the same time. You don't want to get her feathers ruffled because, quite frankly, I didn't want to be roughed up before I went on today. But in all seriousness, she's a great, great young lady. Had a chance to sit down with her for about 15 minutes, and she brought the belt.
Really?
Her UFC championship belt with her and had that set on the counter. And if you go to our Twitter page, if you go to our Twitter feed at MRN Radio,
mm-hmm.
Ask MRN, picture of that is already there. And it was a pretty fun interview that you'll be hearing on pre-race later this afternoon.
Looking forward to it. Mike, thanks as always for the time. I know race morning's very busy for you folks at MRN. Thank you for the time. Have a great call today, and we'll be listening here on WGR.
We'll do it. Thanks. Appreciate it, Dave. Enjoy the day and enjoy the race.
All right. Very good. Mike Bagley from the Motor Racing Network. You can follow him on Twitter at the Mike Bagley, as well as he'll have an interview with UFC fighter Misha Tate as part of the pre-race coverage coming up soon as we're off the air at 12 noon. We come back. We'll open up the phone lines for you at 803-0551, 888-550-2550. Plus, you'll hear from Race of Champions modified winner Will Thomas after his big win at Lake Erie Speedway last night. That's coming up too here on Fast Track on WGR. 11:33 here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Dave Buchanan and WGR's Fast Track. As I said, busy day of racing with four major national worldwide series in action all this afternoon, including NASCAR, IndyCar, NHRA, and Formula One, which is up in Montreal this weekend. Just looking at some of the lineups for the Cup race today, as we said, Joey Logano on the pole today. Still looking for his first win of the season, although he's not having a terrible year. You know, he's in chase contention just on points alone, entering the race eighth in the standings, but still looking for his first win of the season. Actually, only one driver is higher than Joey in the standings without a win, and believe it or not, it's Chase Elliott. Elliott is actually the highest driver right now in the Cup Series in the standings without a win this year. That's pretty remarkable, and he's only one of three drivers that have double digits in the top 10 column. It's been an impressive season for Chase Elliott in his first year filling in for the 24. Could he be in contention for a win today? Of course, his dad, Bill, had lots of success at the Michigan International Speedway throughout his career. Martin Truex will start on the outside of the front row. Row two, it'll be Tony Stewart, as we talked about Mike Bagley, his best qualifying performance of the year. Denny Hamlin starting alongside. Row three, it's another rookie in Ryan Blaney alongside Ryan Newman and all Ryan Rowe. Row four, it'll be Kyle Larson and Austin Dillon. Row five, it is Kyle Busch and the aforementioned Chase Elliott. Elsewhere throughout the field, Carl Edwards rolls off from 11th. Row 8, it'll be Brad Keselowski 15th and Jimmy Johnson starting 16th. Kurt Busch, the series' most recent winner, got the win at Pocono last weekend, stretching out his fuel mileage as long as possible to get the win, his first of the year. He'll start 17th today alongside Greg Biffle. Matt Kenseth rolls off 19th today. Casey Kane's back in 23rd. Dale Jr. way back in the 27th starting position for today's race. And this could be a wide-open one with this new version of the lower downforce package, this greatly reduced rear spoiler. They've taken the rear skew out of the car, which is what we saw at the All-Star race a few weeks ago, and the reduction in the splitter and deck lid on the front of the car. Even more downforce taken off these cars. Again, putting more of this into the hands of the drivers, trying to get these cars around the racetrack as quickly as possible without spinning out, and that is the reason for the downforce. Is it puts it more into the hands of the drivers. That yes, the speeds are up going into the corner, but as Mike Bagley talked about in our opening segment, that off throttle time, that is when so much can happen out there on the racetrack, is drivers who can get back to the throttle the quickest, and forcing these drivers to work the cars through the corners. That ultimately is going to be the biggest test today. And again, it's kind of going to be a big question mark, especially at the start. What happens once these cars get going and get up to those 200 mile an hour plus speeds in a pack of 30, 40 cars? Anything is going to be possible. Will it be a wreck fest, or will it just be a lot of guys maybe taking it easy for the first half of the race and then cranking up the pressure later on in the event? And one of the things, as I said a moment ago, one of the things I'll be looking forward to today is to see if a driver that is yet to win this year goes to victory lane today, because there are some names with some guys that have had some success in Michigan looking for a first win of the year. We added Kurt Busch to the, as I said, to the list of winners this year. That brings us up to 9 different winners this year on the Sprint Cup Series. That number has picked up a little bit at the start of the year. There was a lot of repeat winners, guys like Carl Edwards, Kyle Busch, Jimmy Johnson winning multiple times early in the year. Now we're starting to add a couple more names to that list after the last two races. Now we've had Kurt Busch and Martin Truex get their first wins of the year. But you look at guys with zeros in the win column, as we said, Chase Elliott and Joey Logano. Dale Earnhardt Jr., who has had success at Michigan in the past, a few years ago, that used to be the only place he could get a win. He is still looking for his first win of the year. And he is 11th in the points innings. Also, you know, guys like Austin Dillon, Jamie McMurray, Ryan Blaney, Ryan Newman, AJ Allmendinger, Casey Kane, those guys that are right around that 16th in the point standings that would be on a bubble to make the chase points-wise, would love to get a win to obviously shore up their standing to go into the chase. You could also, of course, throw in Kyle Larson as well, who's 21st in points. He's been oh so close this year in both the Cup and the Xfinity Series. He is obviously on the cusp potentially of getting his first win. And also the Roush Fenway drivers, Ricky Stenhouse, Trevor Bayne, and Greg Biffle. The Roush team is the winningest organization in the history of the Michigan International Speedway. And of course, you know, being so close to the Ford headquarters, they would love to get a win as well, too. And we've seen some slightly improved performance out of the Roush team this year. And they're hoping to maybe turn it around with a victory today. Elsewhere, again, around the racing world, you go to Montreal, Formula One in action there. It'll be no surprise in qualifying. All Mercedes front row, Lewis Hamilton and Nico Rosberg will lead the field to green today. Sebastian Vettel rolls off third for Ferrari. Then it's the Red Bull racing teammates of Daniel Ricciardo and Max Verstappen. And Kimi Räikkönen rounding out your top six qualifiers. The Haas F1 cars, the American team, they qualified 13th and 14th today for Esteban Gutierrez and Roman Grosjean. IndyCar in Texas, they were supposed to race last night, but wet weather in the Dallas-Fort Worth area put a damper on that. It wasn't even the rain. Well, it was the rain, but it wasn't that it kept raining. But once it stopped raining, they had trouble drying the track. They had a lot of weepers there at Texas Motor Speedway. Rain seeping up, water seeping up through the seams in the racetrack there at Texas. And unfortunately, the rain got pushed back. But I'll tell you what, a phenomenal job by the IndyCar organization yesterday with the rain delay. They had about 10-12 drivers cross the fence and go into the stands, actually, and mingle with the fans, sign autographs, take selfies, and it was hugely, hugely popular, and it was a great job by IndyCar to kind of do that, to repay the fans for coming out, having to sit through that weather delay and the track drying delay, and not being able to see the race last night. I thought it was a very nice gesture by the folks at IndyCar. Indy 500, Alexander Rossi was one of the guys that went out there. He signed autographs for half an hour, according to reports. James Hinchcliffe, Ryan Hunter-Reay, Marco Andretti were just some of the drivers that went into the stands last night. And I thought that was a great gesture, and what a great way to, again, tie in new fans. We talk about it with Jeremy White, you know, being with it, being at your first race, it can hook a race fan for life, and even more so when you get a chance to meet a driver, and maybe that driver becomes your favorite driver. I think that is also a cool part of this sport, is how you get to, you know, get to pick your favorite driver, because it's not like stick and ball sports where you're born in a hometown city, so you cheer for that team's sporting teams. With motorsports, like other single athlete sports like golf or tennis, you know, you kind of have to pick a favorite, because there isn't this inbred hometown team that you're going to root, that you probably root for from the day you were born, because your parents were a fan of that team because of the city you live in. In motorsports, you get into it and you kind of pick a favorite driver. And times like that, when new race fans, especially young race fans, can get up close and personal with those drivers, that makes them not only a fan of that driver, but a fan of the sport for life. So, very cool gesture by the IndyCar folks. That race is, I believe, going to be about 2 p.m. Eastern on NBC Sports Network for the rescheduled Firestone 600 for the IndyCar Series. Carlos Munoz on the pole for today's race, the runner-up at the Indianapolis 500. Scott Dixon rolls off second, then Elio Castroneves, Takuma Sato, Joseph Newgarden, Simon Pagenaud, Will Power, Tony Kanaan, Indy 500 winner Alexander Rossi, and James Hinchcliffe round out your top 10 starters for today's 22-car field there at the at Texas today for the IndyCar Series. And then NHRA in Englishtown, New Jersey this weekend for the Summer Nationals. Steve Torrence, the number one qualifier in Top Fuel. Fifth time this season that Steve has been on top of the brackets for Top Fuel in NHRA. Ron Capps, your top qualifier in Funny Car. Jason Line, who's having a great year in Pro Stock. He's been, made so many final rounds this year. And then Eddie Krawick, top qualifier in Pro Stock Motorcycles. So just busy, busy day of racing. And looking forward to checking out some of it. It's also been a busy weekend of racing here around the local tracks. Last night, I was down at the Lake Erie Speedway. The Race of Champions Modified Series in action, and Will Thomas got the win. Just his second start of the year in the Modified. He struggled at Lancaster earlier this year and wasn't even thinking on coming to Lake Erie last night, which would have been a big deal because Will, that's his home track. He was a three-time late model champion back when they had a weekly racing program that ran late models. And he's gone off to do some dirt racing down in Pennsylvania and Ohio, but has gotten this asphalt modified to get back into some pavement racing. And he wound up showing up last night and was in the field, struggled a little bit around halfway, but all of a sudden in that second half of the race, Will came on strong and all of a sudden was up with the leaders. And next thing you knew, he was passing Matt Hirschman for the win. And after the race, I had a chance to catch up with Will. So here is Will Thomas from last night at Lake Erie Speedway with me here on Fast Track.
Well, Will, I'll be the first to admit, there early part of the race, you were going backwards, and I thought it was going to be kind of a repeat of Lancaster where you're going to have another struggling night, but you obviously proved me wrong there.
Mm-hmm. No, I was going backwards, and Just were really free in the beginning. Just too loose for me. And these guys all kept telling me, you got to take care of the right rear tire, got to take care of the right rear tire. And I was like, well, we don't need to just keep breaking this thing sideways. So we just slowed down and tried to keep the right rear tire as cool as we could. And just kept wheeling front braking it, wheeling front braking it, wheeling front braking it. And it ended up getting better. Greg Allman was on the radio, the round man, and he's got 10 times more, he's got 100 times more experience spot modified races than I do driving in them. So he kind of coached me real good, and I don't know, it was just kind of weird, you know.
And also, an event you almost didn't come to. You told us before, but you were a little disappointed how things went at Lancaster a few weeks ago, and you were questioning coming tonight. But obviously, the decision paid off. I'm sure having all the help that you did certainly paid off.
Yeah, I wasn't coming. We run real bad at Lancaster, and it was real discouraging. Charlie Rudolph is a great guy. Helped us out quite a bit for that first race. We run pretty decent at the Open, and I thought I was a lot smarter than I am, and so I went to work on her pretty good this winter, and everything I did was no good. And so Joe Skynicki called me Thursday, and he said, are you serious you're not going? I said, nope. I said, I can walk around, and people can laugh at me doing other things. I said, I don't need them laughing at me in a modified. And he said, well, if I can get you some help, would you go? Further thinking that there ain't no way, you know what I mean? Thursday, you know, sure, Joe, I'll go, you know? And he called me back and said, Kenny Troyer said he'd help you. And I'd only spoke to Ken one time in my life before, and he got in his car and come down, and we worked all night. Went to bed about 3:30 Friday morning, and then I got back up about 7:30 and went back out in the shop, finished it up, got everything loaded up, and we came up last night. And if it wasn't for Joe, if it wasn't for Ken, Ken bringing Greg, Dennis, Ryan, Leonard, like all my guys, you know, I'm one of the luckiest people in the world. You know, I get to do, get to race a lot, and I love racing. So you can't race without good people supporting you, and I got a lot of people that support me.
You were coming back through the field. At what point did you say, okay, I got this, I'm gonna go up there, I'm gonna challenge Jimmy, I'm gonna go challenge Matt Hirschman, I think I can do this tonight?
Well, we had a restart. I'm trying to think when it was. And I had so much front brake in the car, and I went in and kind of shot up a lane. And then the next lap, it was pretty good. And I was like, well, I was like, maybe we got something here. And then I was right behind George, and then George pitted. And then right after that restart, we kind of were able to stay with those guys a decent bit. And I thought, well, we're going to go. And then I don't even remember who all we got by. I think Shearer. But I know once we got to, there was Matt and then Jimmy, and then Pat was already behind me.
The 10.
Yeah, Lewis. And those guys, you know, once we got there, and then Jimmy was trying to get around Matt, and he looked like he was a little bit tight, and I could kind of run the racetrack where they weren't using. So once I got to the inside of, when I got to third, I was like, man, this ain't going to be too bad, you know? And then when we got inside Jimmy, I said, well, we're not bad. And I figured Hirschman was just kind of riding around. And I was like, well, here Matt's going to put the afterburners on and leave us in the dust. And then I'll be damned, we got the inside of him. And I was like, well, this ain't too bad. And then I figured, surely we're going to get a restart here and somebody's going to drive by me. But we're blessed.
And of course, at track, you've won 3 late model championships. But really, how much did the late model knowledge, was that able to help you all tonight?
Getting around this racetrack a few times before helped me. My late model knowledge didn't help me at all. That's what got me in trouble at Lancaster. So it took like Kenny and Greg and them guys just kind of guiding me and saying, this is kind of the direction we need to go. And I said, okay. I said, whatever you said. I told Kenny, I said, if you guys come up, I said, you're in charge.
Yeah.
I said, don't worry about stepping on toes, mine included.
Yeah.
I said, this program's yours. Do whatever, you know, I'll do whatever you say. So we saw at Lancaster what my ideas were. So just blessed to have a lot of people support us.
Congrats, Will. It's good to see you back here in Victory Lane. Nice job.
Thank you very much, Dave.
There's Will Thomas from last night at the Lake Erie Speedway. A total team effort for the number nine team, as you heard. Will enlisting the help of modified racing legend Kenny Troyer and also Greg Allman serving as a spotter last night. And that's what really put them over the top, is he had the driving know-how to get around Lake Erie, but to set up that modified car, he enlisted some expert help, as obviously his knowledge of setting up late models wasn't really helping him with the modify, but an impressive effort. Again, kind of just came out of nowhere. I saw him drifting back through the field and kind of forgot about him and was concentrating on Matt Hirschman and Daryl Lewis and Jimmy Zacharias, Patrick Emmerling racing for the lead. Next thing you know, he's up there with those guys and just plotted his way through that top five and was there at the end. And very cool to see him get the win. And also, great run last night. Daryl Lewis Jr., they're starting to get things figured out. The 10 team, the Lewis family, probably a lower budget operation maybe compared to some of the other teams on the ROC series. And they're just showing big-time improvement this year, hoping that they can break through for a first win this season as well. More local racing to come in our final segment. We'll hit the local racing roundup and wrap up this edition of Fast Track when we get back here on WGR. Hey, race fans, it's Dave Buchanan for my friends at Batavia Downs. Batavia Downs Gaming is the area's premier entertainment destination, and the place looks, man, better than ever with the newly renovated entrance and gaming floor. It looks like a top-notch facility there at Batavia Downs, and you go inside, check out all the great games. They've got all those cool movie and TV themed games there at Batavia Downs. Family Guy, The Hangover, Titanic, Sex and the City, Michael Jackson, Wheel of Fortune. They're all right there on the gaming floor at Batavia Downs. Tons of fun to play those. Just sit down and kill some time playing the games at Batavia Downs. And of course, while you're there, you got to check out 34 Rush. That's Thurman Thomas's sports bar right inside Batavia Downs. Go inside, check out Thurman's sports memorabilia, including his Hall of Fame jacket, jerseys from his playing days here in Buffalo. Sit down, grab a bite to eat, have a beverage or two, and check out all the HD TVs. They've got sports on all the TVs, whether it's hockey and basketball playoffs, baseball, racing, of course, horse racing especially. They've got it on all the TVs there at Batavia Downs. They've also got that big 15-foot projection screen that we were watching the Martinsville race on a couple of months back. That was a ton of fun, just hanging out, watching on the big projection screen there at Batavia Downs. Also, they have Fortune's Italian Restaurant inside Batavia Downs. Delicious pasta and pizza. A great way to spend maybe a Sunday evening with your significant other, taking them to dinner at Batavia Downs. Batavia Downs Gaming is open daily 8 a.m. till 4 a.m. off through exit 48 right in Batavia. And for more information, be sure to follow Batavia Downs Gaming on Facebook and Twitter for up-to-date info on all promotions, and discover why Batavia Downs Gaming is the area's premier entertainment destination, and tell them you heard about them right here on Fast Track.
Let's find out who visited Victory Lane this weekend. It's time for the local racing roundup on WGR's Fast Track.
And let's start with Thursday night at Lancaster National Dragway. They had their big pro modified shootout, and Bruce Boland from Stony Creek, Ontario, getting the win at Lancaster on Thursday in the pro modified shootout. And then last Friday night action, their regular Friday night drag racing program, Wayne Cleveland had a big night. He swept both Quick 16 and Top ET. Double wins there for the Williamsville driver. Gasser Racing Series, Gassers went to Rod Pontlitz in mod for the Gasser Racing Series. Jim LaFave getting the win there. Ryan Ricketson, his second win of the week at Lancaster. He also won on Thursday night. He wins Mod ET on Friday. Mike Campana in Bikes and Sleds, and Matt Hughes getting the win in Street ET Friday at Lancaster National Dragway. Little Valley Speedway finally got a show in this year on Friday. Max Blair getting the win in the Super Late Models over Jason DuPont and Chad Vallone. Jeremy Wonderling getting the win in the Crate Late Models over Brady Wonderling, Paul Grigsby, and Mike Wonderling. 360 Late Models, Dave DeBose getting the win over Tom Kemp and Bruce Miller. David Scott getting the win in the E-Mods there Friday night at the Little Valley Speedway. Ransomville Friday night. Tyler McPherson getting his first career Ransomville modified win over Tommy Flanagan and Pete Bicknell. Jesse Cotra's second win of the year in the Sportsman. Kyle Wendt getting his first street stock win of the year. Cole Susie in the Four Bangers and Anthony Moscato in the Novice Sportsman there at the Big R on Friday night. Last night, Lake Erie Speedway, again, we talked to the winner, Will Thomas, in the Race of Champions Modified Series over Patrick Emmerling, Jimmy Zacharias, Matt Hirschman, and Brian Sherwood. Alex McCollum making the long tow from Phillipsburg, New Jersey, getting the Legends car win. Jake Wiley, another win in the Big Ten Superstocks, this time at Lake Erie last night. Dave Wallaber, another NYPA TQ midget win. That's his third in a row. And Ryan Frazier getting the win in the Lucas Oil Can-Am TQ midgets last night at Lake Erie Speedway. So great to get back to Lake Erie, and such a phenomenal facility. Hopefully they can get some more racing programs there in the future. Genesee Speedway last night, Dave DuBose, another win, his second of the weekend in the Crate Late Models. Ray Bliss in the Sportsman over Kyle Inman and Ray Smith. Tyler Walker getting the win in the 600 Micro Sprints. Mike Jackson in the Street Stocks. Dante Mancuso in the Mini Stocks. And Eddie Kowalczyk getting the win in the Bandits. Wyoming County Speedway, sorry, don't have the results. They're the SST super secret results. And I apologize, I don't have the Merrittville results either. I used to get a nice email with all of them, but I haven't gotten it the last couple of weeks. Freedom Motorsports Park, I always forget Freedom. I apologize, Charlie. Friday night action there. Butch Zimmerman getting the win in the Street Stock Shootout. Brad Rouse in the Sportsman. Tyler Walker, a two-win weekend for him as well in the Micro Sprints there. And also Dante Mancuso, a two-win weekend as he got the win Friday night at Freedom in the Mini Stocks too. Looking for some racing action in person today instead of on TV. Lancaster Dragway is going on right now. They've got Mopar Day drag racing action at Lancaster. That is underway. That'll be going on all afternoon. And then tonight, the Humberstone Speedway, 6:30 start time. They have their full five-division program plus the vintage cars in action at the Humberstone Speedway. No NASCAR race next weekend, but I'm sure we'll fill the void somehow. Maybe it might be a good time to talk to Michael Prince up because the 6 hours of the Glen is coming up soon. So hopefully we can see if we can lure Michael to join us next Sunday. If not, I'm sure we'll find plenty to talk about. So we hope you join us then. Coming up, of course, the race for Michigan here on MRN. We'll talk about that too next week here on Fast Track on WGR.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.